Please pray with me. Loving God, thank you for the resurrection hope through your Son. And Lord, help us to be as excited as those women that morning as they fled to the tomb in excitement. Help us, Lord, to carry that excitement with us so that we too are always reminded of the love made possible through your Son. And may the meditation of my heart and mind be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, as I began contemplating what I was going to preach about this Easter, trying to say something that you've never heard before, like on an Easter Sunday, is like impossible at this point. But I was reminded of my own experiences in celebrating Easter. There have been many traditions over the years for me, but the ones that I have the fondest memory of is when I was raised Catholic and would attend Easter morning services at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Now, my mom basically drug us out of bed every Sunday morning to go to church, but on Easter morning, it was different because I had to put on a dress. And not just any dress, but that dress with the itchy stuff underneath. And then you have the pantyhose, which inevitably always ran. And then you have the patent leather shoes. And when you walk on a floor in a Catholic church, which is mostly marble, you end up walking what seems like an ice skating ring on your shoes. And so you're skating to get to your pew. And when you finally get there, what I remember the most about Easter was hearing that passion reading, and of course I had heard it earlier in the week. And I said to my mom, because my mom, every year we got Easter baskets, of course, after church. We had to attend church in order to get the Easter basket. But every year she always put a cross in there. And so it would be some sort of wall cross that we would put in our rooms. And I remember asking my mom, and I said to her, I said, Mom, this story doesn't make any sense. I mean, Jesus just died 3 days ago and he's alive. How is that possible? And her response was, you know, there are things that you just don't understand. You know, you get the typical speech, you know, from the, it almost sounded like she was saying, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you kind of speech. And so she said to me, though, go ask the nuns when you're in church today. There were nuns that taught Sunday school at the church. And so I go, and I walk right up to that nun, and I said, I'm confused. I have questions. Why doesn't this story make any sense? I mean, Jesus just died. 3 days later, he's alive. How is this possible? And I still, to this day, remember exactly what she looked like. She had the habit on, you know, from like the ones they wore in Sister Act, like the whole thing. Right? And so, and she just sternly looked at me and said, you don't need to understand the story. You simply have to trust and have faith, because with God, all things are possible. I still looked at her and went, huh? And she goes, you'll understand it later. It took me years in my Sunday school education classes before it began to sink in. And I really understood that nun was exactly right. The resurrection story is largely about faith, but it's also this revolutionary hope. The hope that was born in a manger over 2,000 years ago. The hope that carried to the cross for you and for me. It was hope that carried him, and the nails, it wasn't the nails that held him to the cross, it was love. Love from a gracious Father who chose to go through pain, suffering, and death for us all. And as Scripture reminds us, we all know that death doesn't have the final answer. For those of you who don't know this, the gospel today is from Mark. There are four gospels in the New Testament, and Mark is the oldest of all of them. So it would have been the first narrative ever written about this story. And it doesn't possess the traditional narrative story of men running to the tomb. And it doesn't have an appearance of Jesus as some of the other gospels do. But instead, we have an empty tomb. But all of that shouldn't matter in light of what we read in Paul's reading today. You know, I went to seminary with 21 other, it's either 21 or 23 of us in my seminary class. And one of my classmates named Ray, he died a few years ago, unfortunately, very suddenly, very tragically. He was selected to write for Sundays and Seasons. That's the kind of the worship resource we use in the ELCA. And he wrote something about Easter that I wanted to share with you today. This is what he wrote. Easter isn't just a day when we remember what supposedly happened 2,000 years ago. And it isn't a day we celebrate once a year, whether we do it because we believe it and experience it in our own lives, or because it's some tradition, or we aren't sure about all this Jesus stuff, and we're curious, or we've been coerced into attending a worship service somewhere. We know the full spectrum of reasons people have gathered today. No, Easter is the reality of this hope and promise that we have access to 24/7, every single day, available to us at all times, whoever we are, wherever we are a resurrection people. I love that we are a resurrection people. The resurrection truth is that all of this transpired and everything that we celebrated this past week comes to the culmination in this big buildup to this empty tomb. And I continue to think about our church as the one who just rolled open the stone, and we now, as a church, are continuing to grow. Just like I grew in my own faith. Uh-oh, I'm gonna need some water. Give me my water, thank you. Just like I had to continue to grow in my own faith, we too continue to grow in our own faith because we have a job to do. Resurrection people means that we too rise and we too go out and share the story. And while this gospel lesson today doesn't have the revealing of Jesus with the women there, it does have a hopeful resonance to it. And that hope is what we are called to carry with us in this day. Our national bishop, Bishop Elizabeth Eaton, also wrote something about today, and I wanted to share some words from her this morning. There are three words in this passage that really stand out to me, especially in the Greek. One is fear, phobos. That's where we get phobia from. The other one is amazement, ekstasis. That's where we get ecstasy from. The other one has to do with being seized. It actually means being possessed. So we take a look at these women, and they've had this miraculous appearance by an angel. They've heard the good news that Jesus has raised them from the dead, and they're too afraid to do anything about it. And they just are going to be silent. It seems that nothing has changed. They came to care for Jesus' dead body because it was the Sabbath and they could not work. But on the first day of the week, they were there. They have this announcement. And then it's just all the same. She goes on to say, sometimes I think we feel like nothing's changed. Sometimes I think that the events in our country, in our church, around the world are just so terrifying, so overwhelming, that it seems like the resurrection really didn't make a difference. But these three words really say something about the women, and I think about us, and most especially about Easter. When they said they were filled with amazement, this ecstasy, they were really standing. It literally means standing in a different place. So though they were still in the tomb and they hadn't reacted yet, everything had changed. And because of the resurrection, we, all of us, are standing in a different place. The whole of creation is standing in a different place. And the world of fear we get from that, from this story, but it's really a sense of trembling in the presence of God, the presence of awe, that we are actually filled with awe, paralyzed by fear, but filled with awe. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and now we are all spirit-possessed, end quote. This is the wisdom of God. Jesus' crucifixion is the death of our death. His innocent suffering reconciled all of creation to God. He has done it. He has staked his whole life on this. And as we come to the end of our Lenten desert, this now we enter into a garden, an Easter garden, which is why today I sprinkled you with water, because I want you to remember that you are a resurrection people. You are baptized children of God, and all of us here, we have been deemed worthy on account of what Christ did for us today. And that is not by mistake, that is by design, folks. And so no one is excluded from the love of God. No one. No matter who you are, whether you are here every Sunday or not, that's what the Easter hope is, and that's what makes us resurrection people. My brothers and sisters in Christ, tomorrow is April Fool's Day. But you know who I want to be a fool for? I'm going to be a fool for Christ. I'm going to be a fool for Christ. I'm going to be on my way on vacation, of course, but I'm going to be a fool for Christ anyway. And I'm going to go out and tell people that I am a resurrection person. I've been deemed worthy. I'm going to be standing on the beach going, Christ is risen! I was yelling that this morning out here in the garden to all the neighbors as loud as I could at 7 a.m. I'm sure that they just love our church. I'm sure of it. I'm just sure of it. It is my prayer that you become fools for Jesus and live as resurrection people. That is what Christ died for. Jesus crucified and risen has revealed to us eyes that are open, ears that are open. And the way of the cross, the way of Christ, is this empty tomb. It starts here. Take those first steps here today. Christ is risen!
He is risen.
Amen.